What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Pricks on Flicks with Vince and Chris. I'm Vince.
I'm Chris.
Stretton's not here today. We're recording super late because schedules and stuff. What are you drinking, Chris?
I'm drinking a pink cowbell.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
It's definitely heavy in the rotation. I'm drinking Mr. T by Burnham Brewing. It's, like I said, this was just a fridge clean out.
Burnham is Michigan?
Michigan City?
Michigan City.
Michigan City, yeah.
And in case we've never said it, which I don't think we have, but Pink Cowbell is from Off Square.
Yeah, in Crown Point. Yeah, great brewery. I don't think I've said this. Amazing food. Like, their food is incredible.
At Off Square?
Yes. I don't know that Burnham has food, and if they do, I don't think I've ever had it.
Shoreline does.
Shoreline's food's okay.
Yeah, I didn't think it was anything great.
I've had stuff there that was really, really good, and I've had stuff there that was terrible. I had a jerk chicken sandwich. It was one of the worst things I've ever eaten in my entire life.
I'll tell you a place that has phenomenal food that the wife and I went to the other night. Montego Bay. Right here in Hobart.
Their food's incredible.
Go check this place out. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, me and my wife ate there a couple weeks ago and got jerk chicken and other.
Yeah, take a date, take a wife, take a mistress, take whatever, and get the shrimp tacos as an appetizer.
That's what my wife got.
Yeah, each of you have a shrimp taco, and then get your entree on top of that. I got the jerk salmon, which was awesome.
Really?
Got the jerk chicken, which was really good as well.
You got a sip on Appleton rum while you eat it.
I had a Red Stripe.
Oh, yeah. Well, you drink Red Stripe, but you sip on the Appleton as well. Yeah, but brings me back to Jamaica, man. Brings me back to the Caribbean itself, because jerk is just a thing in the Caribbean. But yeah, I've fed. Yeah, it's probably the best jerk I've had outside of the Caribbean. It's really good. The guy does a really good job there.
And then we bought a bottle of the Chef Teddiani's. And
sauce?
I think I said that right. Yeah, the jerk sauce.
Yeah, I saw they had it for sale there. Yeah.
Chef Teddiani, I think is his name. He was there. Looks like a super cool dude.
Yeah. Makes good food.
Yeah, he does. All right, yeah, so go check out Montego Bay. And also, don't fly, what is it, Montego Airlines?
Yeah, Montego Air, yeah. I don't think it's a real thing.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real airline.
I don't know if there's airlines in there's cities.
That is my bad segue into our first show that we're going to talk about. You want to dive right into it? Or do you want to do a rundown of what we're going to talk about?
We usually do the rundown.
Great movie, by the way.
No, it's not.
I love it.
You know what? The Rock did have his charisma in that, and it was
one of his.
It was one of his first ones, and so I will say that. But there's just too much ridiculousness in that movie that just is over the topness. But anyway, we're gonna talk about the rundown. We are gonna talk about Manifest, and
we're gonna, of course, hit on this week's Fear the Walking Dead as we do every week. We're gonna also talk about the season finale, or series finale, I would imagine, of Bodyguard.
Yeah, I don't know if it's coming back for part two, but it was definitely the end of whether it's season or series. Yeah, it's the end. And we're gonna talk about White Boy Rick and Netflix show
Maniac.
Yeah,
one other we're gonna talk about, because this show has been out for quite a while, but I just recently watched the first season.
Javier Pena.
Did he play Pablo?
No, Javier Pena is the main character, who's not Pablo Escobar, the cop, the Oberon Martel.
Yes, yeah. Oberon. He's the main character? See, I would say that Boyd Holbrook was the main character.
In the first season, they kind of split 50-50.
Now, remember, I've only watched the first season.
Okay, yeah.
So we're going to get to Narcos season one also. We're going to talk about that, because I finally watched it.
Wagner Mara is the guy who plays Pablo Escobar. Yeah, you might have seen him in Elysium. I mean, that's the only other movie that I think I've ever seen that guy in. Yeah. All right. Since you already jumped it off, you want to talk about
Montego Air.
Yeah, Montego. You want to talk about Manifest?
So just as we said, the plane takes off. There's it's flight 828. Is the flight full of people that volunteered to fly, or was that just some of the extra people on that flight? Because they said, we've overbooked this flight, we're looking for volunteers to stay behind and take this other flight, 828.
Yeah.
Which, like, the husband and his sister and his son chose. So, anyways, this plane takes off.
191 people.
Yes, 191 souls, the captain said. So, yeah, they're in the air, and of course the plane gets struck by lightning, which is kind of...
Do we see that?
No, but you see the lightning really close and the turbulence.
Okay, yeah.
It's probably some type of wormhole or something, but whatever. Yeah. And then the pilot comes on the air and requests his land, and they reroute. They ask him to repeat his flight number and stuff, and he repeats it. I'm like, can we have your name and your passenger manifest? And he gives them that, and they immediately reroute him to another airport. Where they land and
just a stone's throw away from the main city or from the city.
Did he say that?
Yeah, something like that. Or spitting distance. He said spitting distance. That's what I remember laughing because he said it's spitting distance from the city. Like, yeah, it was weird.
All right, so they land and immediately they're told that they've been gone.
That
for
was crazy.
Years.
I feel like they don't do that in shows like that. They hold that back, even though we knew what was going on. Like, as soon as I get off the plane. You guys took off on this date in 2013, yeah. And it's November 4th, 2018. Like, as soon as they get off the plane, they get told that.
And people would have been just passing out from shock and shit. I don't think they would have done that, for one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think in other shows where, like, stuff like that happens, where people don't know what year it is, and they don't just, like, throw them right into that, or, I don't know. Like, okay, look at Jumanji, the one with The Rock, the one that just happened. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell him right away what year it was in the outside world where they were from. Like, they waited, and then Kevin...
The Jonas brother?
Yeah. And then Kevin Hart goes, dude, you've been here for 20 years? Like, when they find out. But yeah, the other people knew. But anyway, just... It was weird how they just blurted it out, like, immediately. As soon as they got off the plane, they were like, you guys have been gone for 5 years.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So then they immediately, very quickly, get back to their normal lives of what could be normal about it. Interesting, we talked about one of the kids being like 8 years old when he gets on the plane. And he's still
11.
8 years old. Oh, yeah, 11. But he had a twin sister who wasn't on the plane,
mm-hmm.
who took the other flight.
Yeah.
So now him and his twin sister are 5 years apart.
Yep.
Pretty funny. Tragic also, whatever. But I don't know. Then the characters start hearing voices telling them to do stuff. You see this mysterious 828 connection.
They did say that it was their own voices, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
It was their own,
it's their own voice telling them to do stuff, helping them. For instance, the one girl saves a couple missing children that were locked in a
shipping container.
Yeah, shipping container.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have very high hopes for the show.
I don't either. I feel like it's going to be a really good, like, somebody came up with a great idea. And then it's just going to be done very shoddy. Like, the writing is going to be very shoddy. Like, they're not. It's going to be a big mystery, like, what the voice is, like, where they went. It's going to be all the things that people hated about Lost.
Yes, I feel shows like this should just have should be a limited series. Have a beginning, mm-hmm. have an end, run one season of this shit, and
tell
a great story.
No.
Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And that's what Lost should have done. Now, Lost could have milked it for a couple seasons, but have your story. Don't get a couple seasons into it and say, this show is huge. Everybody's watching it.
Yeah.
So let's completely change our story just so we can keep going. That's what Lost
that
did.
That has worked before. Supernatural.
I don't know that they've ever changed your story. They may not have had an end game.
Yeah, that's true. But he did say 5 seasons, right?
Did he? Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was 5 seasons. And then people loved it so much, it's like, all right, we can keep this going. And then it's never been bad. I mean, it's kind of been hokey sometimes, but it's never, I mean, did we just finish 13 going into 14?
I think we're 14? Starting 14.
We're starting 14?
It's just ridiculous.
We're either starting 13 or 14, but that's a long time for a show, for any show to run, let alone about two brothers.
Sammy?
Yeah.
Dean?
Yeah, just, you idiot. You know, I mean, just... It's crazy. There have been people who've been dead on that show for years, and now they're back because they went to an alternate timeline. You know what I mean? Like, Bobby's back. But anyway, like, this show, I feel like they're going to milk the mystery, and I don't like when shows do that, and I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. I have no idea. But
they're going
to. I feel like they're going to. Yeah, I just... first season slated for 13 episodes. It's got an 8.1... On the IMDb, but I don't put it there. I kind of enjoyed the episode because of the concept, but I feel my expectations were very low for this. One, because I only found out about it last week when you mentioned it, and two, what channel is this on? Like NBC or something?
Yeah.
It's just not going to be very good.
As I was watching the show, as it was progressing, I was getting less and less interested in it. Because I could see it going the route of, listen, they're going to milk this mystery forever, and then it's, if you find out, it's going to be a huge letdown. It's going to be like Lost, and I just lost interest pretty quick. So I kind of, I would hope that this show gets no viewers for episode two, and then they never show another episode, because I don't want to get sucked into this.
Or nobody watches episode two, and then they're like, okay, well, let's just finish the season, and then they refilm like the last couple episodes and wrap it up.
Oh, that would be great.
Right.
But I don't think
that'll happen. It's happened before, like when the show gets canceled and then they change stuff.
I don't think they ever do that in season one, though. I think that's usually reserved for later.
Yeah.
Oh, and also in this Manifest show, I thought they were going to do a Sarah Connor thing from Sarah Connor Chronicles. I thought the little boy with leukemia was going to be magically cured because of the time jump or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember when Sarah did that in Sarah Connor Chronicles? Her cancer was gone?
Yes.
Because remember
she dies of cancer in...
In T3.
Yeah.
Terminator 3. So when they made the TV show, they included the fact that she had cancer.
Right.
But they jumped over the time that she died in T3, which pretty much wiped... Because this was all in the Terminator universe.
Yeah.
And it jumped over Terminator 3, so that Terminator 3 never happened. And through the time jump, she was magically cured of cancer.
I do remember that. That's something we should do for a revisit eventually.
It's so hard because there was no ending. I'm going to go to my grave wondering what happens in that show.
Yeah, he goes to the future.
Yeah.
As a young kid.
Yes.
As a teenager, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, digression. I'm going to say 5.2 just because I really dig the concept, and the first episode kind of stuck to the concept pretty well. And I really want to see where the voice thing, what that it's all about.
Are you saying that episode was a 5.2?
Yeah.
Really? Because, see, as a standalone episode, I could say that it was a little higher.
See, I think the acting was really bad. I think the main
acting
is terrible.
Yeah, but I think it was kind of expected from this type of show. Although, I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's some regular TV networks, ABC, CBS, that has really good acting on it. I mean, we have This Is Us, which came back tonight.
Big Bang Theory.
I almost repeated you. Like, I'm glad I stopped myself. No, absolutely not. But, you know, there's good stuff. I think every cast member of The Good Wife, when that was on, won an Emmy for acting. I mean, there's good acting.
That was network?
Yeah. Was ABC? CBS?
Oh, was it?
Whatever. Yeah, but yeah, it's CBS because The Good Fight is on CBS. But yeah, there's good acting.
What about The Good Doctor?
A lot of people were two people were nominated for acting on that, and that is network TV as well.
What about The Good Cop?
Nah, I guess that's a good time. All right, what do you think of Manifest?
I let you into it. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. I tried to watch The Good Cop, which is a new show on Netflix with Tony Danza and yes, you're hearing me right, Josh Groban. I made it about 30 minutes into the first episode and fucking almost threw my phone across the room.
Did Josh Groban play the piano and sing I'm Fucking Ben Affleck?
No, it was just, the show was terrible. Both characters are fucking ridiculous in different ways. Just like Tony Danza being a giant sleazeball, former cop, disgraced cop, is a sleazeball, and then Josh Groban being a goody two shoes is so over the fucking top. He's sitting in a red light for 20 minutes and won't go because the light won't turn green because the light's broke. Nobody would do that.
Wait, which one did that?
Josh Groban. He's a cop. He's a detective. And he's sitting at a red light, and Tony Danza, his father, is sitting next to him, and he's like, just go, the light's broken, everybody knows that, just go, there's nobody else around, go. He goes, I can't, I'm an officer of the law. That's a crime. Like, get the fuck out of here.
All right, true story, this morning, I was on the toll road on my way to work, and I get to the toll booth, and it didn't register my iZoom. I push the button, it rings a couple times, it says, your time is valuable to us, please remain on the line. So it says it one more time. I get out of my car with my iZoom, go over, or Easy Pass, whatever it is, run it over the thing, and it still didn't go. So I got in my car and said, fuck you. And I went through and I left.
Yeah. You're not going to sit there. And you even getting out, like, that was a lot. But you know there's consequences if you don't. Like, they can give you a ticket and shit like that. But, I mean, in this case, like, there's nobody around. Like, are you really going to sit at a light for forever until it changes when it's broken? which
it's pretty stupid.
It was horrible, and it was supposed to be a comedy, and it's like a buddy cop show, but only like Tony Danza's not a cop anymore, and he's out on parole. It was horrifically stupid. All right, what do you want to go on to next? It's a 1.5. It was terrible. It didn't make me laugh. I'll give it a 1.5 instead of a 0 because, I don't know, Tony Danza seems like a really cool guy in real life.
Next is...
Oh, wait. How do you feel about milking the mystery for the episode title?
Did we even say that?
Yeah. I said the manifest. I feel like they're going to milk the mystery.
Okay, maybe.
Okay.
I'll leave that up to our producer.
All right.
Our next one was... I'm going to recap Fear the Walking Dead, which I really liked this episode. That
was
a pretty good episode.
Really good. And Jimbo, but
he's still a douchebag.
I don't... he didn't die a douchebag.
Yeah.
Didn't.
How did he know that car had an alarm on it? What if it didn't?
I don't think it was about the alarm, but more the loud bang. Because, I mean...
Really? Because I really thought it was about the alarm with both of them.
See, I don't think... I mean... I don't know how batteries still have juice sitting there. I mean, I start my motorcycle up after not starting it up all winter, and the fucking battery's dead. Like,
right.
Now, in this case, when they drop both bodies, well, when one guy jumps and the other one drops the body, I don't know that they were, like, assuming that they had an alarm. I mean, obviously, it works out better if the cars do, but the loud bang would draw at least the attention, at least for them to turn their heads and start heading over in that direction. One thing that's really weird, though, in this episode that we've seen, and I don't know that we've seen it so prevalent in other episodes, as soon as the alarm shut off, all the walkers turned around and started walking away. Have we seen that before? Like, they still, like, kind of investigate.
Yeah.
like, in this episode, they were all walking towards the alarm that was going off where Morgan dropped the body.
And it stops, and then they're just like, oh, noise is done. Mentality or that pattern,
yeah,
if you fired a gun in the woods, it would just be one single noise and they'd just be like, we don't need to go over there.
Right. Like every single one of those walkers stopped as soon as the alarm stopped, turned around and fucked off. Like that yeah. was ridiculous to me, but that we can nitpick everything, but I
liked how you said fucked off, because talking about bodyguard later in one of the early episodes, I love when he goes in to talk to his boss, and she's, like, giving him an assignment, and he's sitting there. And then she kind of finishes up, and he doesn't get up, and she goes, that's it. Piss off. I love how they use the word piss off.
Yeah. Sawed off, piss off, fuck off. Yeah, it's all that.
Or if you're Vic Mackey, you just say, screw, screw. Hey, you, screw.
God, I'm in season seven. How far are you?
Season five, I believe.
I'm in season seven, and he gets this one guy, and the two guys are playing basketball. He just wants the one guy, and he grabs him, and the other guy is just, it was a kid. He was like maybe like 15 or 16, and he just looks at him. He goes, yeah, were you at the such and such? And then the other kid looks at him, and he just goes, hey, you. Screw! Like, just, what is... Screw. Like, if he tipped, I was there, I'd go... Like,
screw what?
Am I going to be the bottom? Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's... screw! All right.
Maybe that's that episode title, just,
hey,
screw.
You, I say, hey, you, screw. Hey, you, apostrophe. All right, anyway... What are we talking about? Fear the Walking Dead. Good episode. We see the end of Jimbo.
I still hate this black chick, the villain girl.
God, put a fucking bullet in. Oh, they did put bullets in her. They put buckshot in it, which reminds me of something your dad said one time. They put buckshot in her ass. No, right in her chest. And she still alive, getting shot. And he wasn't that far away. I mean, I don't know. Just, I think infection. And I don't know. It's,
her stupid socks with sandals.
Is she paid attention to it? That's like fashion faux pas.
Dude, that could be another title. Socks with sandals. I mean, there's a ton of titles in this episode here.
No, I didn't notice the sandals. Are they like the Adidas sandals?
They're like Birkenstocks.
See, that's no bueno. See, I'll wear socks with like the Adidas ones, like with the over the foot.
They call those slides now.
Slides? Yeah, I'll wear socks with slides. Not all the time, but I will.
What about flip flops, where it's actually the thing in between the big toe and the next
toe.
Only
for Japanese. That's it.
Because then you could be a ninja.
Right. If you're not Japanese, don't do that.
And they
got
to be black socks.
Yeah. If you're not Japanese, don't do that. But yeah.
Fear, I like this episode. Next week, the season finale?
Yeah. Everybody's together, right? Means. Everyone's together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what that means?
What? They're on their way to. Well, Walking Dead
coming. Walking Dead coming back.
Yeah. We'll be in
New Orleans.
When actually not supposed to say that.
Why?
I don't know. I was in New Orleans and there was a placemat and it said how to say New Orleans and it was like sometimes this, sometimes this, sometimes this. Never in big bold letters this, and it was Nolens.
Isn't that what they all say?
No.
What did they say?
New Orleans. And it's also never New Orleans. Eh, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I met a girl once at a party from New Orleans, and she said Narlands.
Did she pronounce an R? Narlands?
No, it was just Narlands.
I don't know. Whatever. Different people have different things. Yeah, good episode. It was a good episode.
It was. I was happy with this episode. Thought it was pretty good. I like to see them all get back together. I like to see them all work together.
I was sad to see Jim go. I didn't like the character, but as I think we both said in previous episodes, we wanted some kind of development with him. We did get some, but what about 25 seconds worth of development? I mean,
not much.
He gives his beer recipe, which I was glad he did that. I knew he was going to do it, but yeah. I'm glad he did. But yeah.
Jimbo's beer bows. What the hell is that?
When they were throwing around names for his beer, just like, what? How about Salvation Ale? You know what I mean? Like, it's something that he did. Jimbo's beer bows. Like, he would be pissed.
Well, they said that.
Yeah, they did. They did. He would hate this. And they would. And I hate it, too. But,
I tell you what. The moment I went back to that MRAT or whatever it is. And
MRAT?
Yeah, I think that's what her SWAT truck's called.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's an MRAT.
Okay.
MRAP. NRAT. I don't know. But, military. It's a military term.
Okay. Oh, there you go. I was like, where are you getting this from? Yeah. Is that the brand? Okay,
no.
All right, I got you.
But the moment I went back there and that black girl was gone, I would have been like, all right, we're running over all these walkers, zombies or whatever, and then we're finding that bitch and we're killing her.
Yeah. She's already done so much damage. And
Morgan's talking about, we need to help people. You help people by getting rid of her.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, do you think Rick would be trying to help this lady? Rick would have shot that bitch through the fucking walkie, dude. He'd have been like, the bullet would have came out the other side of the walkie. Like, the first conversation, he was weak. I had to... Sorry, Lee. Wouldn't even have to know what that chick looks like. And there's Morgan. Like, and I get the whole cheesemaker thing, which... did I tell you that I rewatched that episode last week or 2 weeks
no.
ago? I got a little bit more respect for that episode now that I watched it again. I watched it more with an open mind, knowing that I was only going to see these two dudes throughout the whole episode.
You weren't looking for progression this time you watched it.
Well, one,
the original time
I love
the
guy. I love the guy.
The original time you watch that episode, you're enthralled in the story. You're looking for progression in the story. And then this episode takes you out.
Yeah, this episode takes you away from the story.
Right.
And brings you back months or however long.
You know, I bet you if I were to watch the Fly episode of Breaking Bad,
we might have a new appreciation for
it.
Yes, probably.
Because, I mean, it's more of an artistic episode.
It is.
It's not story progressive.
It is. But yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead, this last episode, best episode of the return from the mid-season.
I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know what? They didn't have the zombie alligator. They mentioned him.
Yeah, they did.
But we didn't have to deal with him,
which was great. I'm glad we didn't see either a zombie alligator or a regular alligator that just that knew the difference between dead people and alive people.
No, it was eating both.
Who did it eat that was alive?
Well, it was attacking them.
It was trying to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can only imagine it.
Maybe it was starving because everything was gone and everything was being eaten by the walkers, so it had to attack everything.
Yeah, it was still ridiculous.
It was really dumb.
And I'm glad they got away from it.
No, Al. Who's did I miss that her name was Althea?
You did.
Apparently, I did. But yeah, because they always called her Al for short. But apparently, somewhere along the line, they called her Althea. Okay. Well, that was the name of the sheriff in the last season of the motorcycle one, Sons of Anarchy, remember? It was Annabeth Gish played the character.
Oh,
she was sleeping
yeah.
with Jibs. And was it Kelly or Peg Bundy? Whatever, Althea. Like, just...
This show is ridiculous.
Let's move on, move on, move on. Mayans is terrible. Yes. Mayans is awful as well. All right, Fear the Walking Dead, good episode. What's next?
Maniac.
Okay, Maniac is about a doctor who's using artificial intelligence and psychotropic drugs to cure mental illness. And it stars Jonah Hill, Emma Stone, Justin Theroux, and Sally Field. Anybody else?
Hank Azaria.
Spoiler! No, Hank Azaria. Oh, and Gabriel Byrne.
Yes.
And you know what? The brother was somebody, too. I don't remember his
name. And the girl from Ozark and the Americans.
Oh, yeah. Julia Garner.
Is that her name?
Yeah. Probably one of the better younger actresses out there after seeing her in Ozark and the Americans. But, yeah, she was in there for a few bits. Yeah, but that's the premise of the show. Do you want to get into how weird it was? Or
very.
This is a...
And I don't think it was just... It wasn't... just curing mental illnesses. You could just be sad about something and it was meant to make you okay.
Well, that
getting
was
over
thing.
Grief.
It was all mental illness.
Well,
it
I mean,
it, grief
it depends on what, yeah. I mean,
schizophrenia, like yeah. it was,
I mean,
anything
wrong
with you.
I don't consider grief a mental illness.
No,
it's
not.
It's just a stage of life.
Yeah. But,
the schizophrenia, mental illness.
Depression. Yeah.
Mental illness.
Right.
Which, I mean, guess depression can come from grief, obviously.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think it was, I mean, I don't think you had to have a mental illness for this stuff to work, is what I'm saying. Just put you in a better place. Make you.
Yeah. He was trying to make everyone happy.
Yeah.
Which is the idea of every people always being happy.
Which I guess, according to him, all you need is something to go over your junk in a computer program. The fuck.
How weird was that? How weird and, you know what, I'm going to say it. How cool is that? Like, how cool is that?
Oh, I was listening to Seth Andrews talk about a brothel opening up in Canada.
Is that the newest episode?
Yeah.
Don't spoil it. I was
Can I just tell you about the brothel?
Yeah, go ahead.
This brothel in Ontario is opening, and it's a sex doll brothel. There's going to be no people there. You just go there, and you go into a room, and your sex doll is waiting for you. And you could pay different prices. He said somewhere between like $65 and $750.
What's with the price variance?
That's what he was wondering. He doesn't know. He hasn't been there. I haven't been there.
$750 for the weekend?
That's what he was saying. They did.
Maybe $65 is for the used dolls? And maybe
they did assure you that they're sanitized thoroughly before from the last customer.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
Maybe for the 65, it's like, well, we're not going to clean them for that much.
That's, just dip them in some bleach.
Dude, I don't get that. A sex doll brothel. It's weird. It's weird.
It is weird to hump an inanimate object.
Some people are into it. Whatever. I mean, not my cup of tea.
Actually, that was funny that you mentioned that. Oh, no, we're going to diverge too much. We're going to diverge too much. But yeah, it is very weird. But back to Weird Maniac. This show...
There's about, what, 5 stories in one here?
Yeah.
Now, it's all the same. I mean...
I thought the writing was exceptional, but it didn't sell me on its... I feel like it was very convoluted. I think it missed a lot of marks. One being Jonah Hill being put into a role that he's not qualified to be in, acting-wise. I thought his performances were very, very bad.
I agree.
All except...
His depressing ones. The ones where he was...
I liked the gangster with the braids and the gold teeth.
I hated the braids, though.
Okay, no, that looked... No, his attire and his aesthetic was ridiculous.
No, it was...
But
the tattoos, the teeth, the clothes were fine.
The braids were bad. Yeah.
It just didn't fit the...
No, they were like they were like a mob, right? Like
He had like Amish-style pigtails.
It was weird. But his...
Know.
But when he was like in the hotel room with... his brother's fiance, but she was the detective in this. And then the guy who was actually the, like, what do you call them? The people who work in mental hospitals.
Doctor?
No.
Therapist?
No. The orderlies?
Oh.
The guy who was, like, orderly in the trial. He was the other detective. And when he was sitting there and he was like, they gonna know. And he said something. He called him a bitch. He was like, Gus, you gonna tell him bitch or something like that? Like, it was very believable. But all the other roles that he was in, like, just, I mean, he mumbled his way through half his lines.
I liked his Warren Moon jersey.
That was great. That was great.
And his mullet.
But yeah, I felt like this show was really weird in a lot of technical terms. All the computers looked like they were from the early 80s, but they were all way more advanced than the computers that we have now.
Well, there was something weird about the real world, too.
That was also really, like, when did this take place? Like, that's the thing, is that I was reading something after I watched the show, because, again, like I told you,
this was like an alternate reality or something.
It was. There was a lot of...
Here's a statue of extra liberty.
And a Russian, a woman with a Russian accent. Yeah. So, obviously, something happened there. We don't know. And also the ads. The ads were really weird, too. Like, you could pay for things. To explain that real quick.
If pay for the friendship?
You could pay for, like, train rides by hiring, but you would do the, it was called the ad buddy. Somebody would come sit next to you on the train and read you advertisements. And that's how you paid for your bus fare or train fare.
There was also a thing to where you could call and, I mean, my best friend growing up, we used to always go to Great America, let's say. So I could call this friend for a hire place. Well, they'll send a stranger to meet me at Great America
and pretend
to be my best friend, and then we hang out like he was my best friend back then. He's not pretending like he's my best friend. He's pretending like he was Steve or whatever his name is back when we were 15 years old. It was very, very weird.
Like, if you died, I could hire somebody to be you on this podcast.
Yes.
And all you have to do is listen to the podcast and then argue with me about what's good and bad.
Right. and you would call him Chris.
Yeah, I would. Exactly. Yeah. So there was a lot of interesting concepts to this TV show, but it did miss the mark for me with a lot of stuff.
I agree.
The weird relationship between Justin Theroux and Sally Field. I know it had a point, like why he was doing what he was doing, why he went into that field. But it's still weird and gross to watch.
Yeah, but Sally Field still looks good at her
age. She does. She's very she's very pretty.
Very, very cute.
She's like 70, and she's still
she's
very
so cute.
Pretty. I thought Emma Stone was really good. I thought Justin Theroux, even though he creeped me out half the time, was awesome. And it's great seeing him in a role who's not serious, like we saw him in The Leftovers.
The Azumi Fujita.
I thought she was good too.
She was good, but another weirdo.
Another weirdo, but she was
always
good.
Smoking.
Oh, God, the way she smoked. But yeah, I thought the weak link acting wise was definitely Jonah Hill.
I agree. He was the executive producer of this also.
Yeah. But the show.
So that's how he got the part.
Do you know the head showrunner of this show was the same guy who did the first season of True Detectives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No S at the end.
True Detective. Yeah. I don't know. I say
watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Watch it. Keep your expectations low, and maybe you'll be really impressed.
It's got an 8.3 on IMDb.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That high?
Yeah.
It's a 7 for me.
That low?
Yeah. Like I said, I had a lot of issues with it. I don't want to go into the issues because I don't want to turn people off to the show. But I had a lot of issues with it.
I give it an 8.0 because I think if I give it less, then people will tell me, you just didn't understand it.
I understood it completely. And I thought the premise of the show was outstanding. Like, and the writing is very good. The writing, yeah, I really liked the writing. And there were some things, I don't want to go into
this.
This
is a remake of a...
is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'd have to do some digging to find out what it was a remake of. I don't remember.
There's one scene where somebody, I'm not going to say who it is, somebody goes into a mental hospital and breaks somebody out. And I thought they were going to go to the direction that this was going to work flawlessly with the really dumb way that they did it. And they absolutely get caught, like, in the act. Now, they run, and that's that. But, like, I felt like there was a lot of good writing, things that would happen.
Remake of a 2014 series called Maniac.
What, from what country?
I'm looking. I can't find that yet.
Anyway. I enjoyed this, but it was not without its faults.
And this was, the original was 2 seasons.
Well, I definitely think there's going to be another season of this. Well, they set it up for that way. Road trip.
Norway.
Norway? Okay. I just, did this have to be, I mean, couldn't this just take place like in the not so distant future
in
as opposed to
this world that we live in right now?
Yeah.
Absolutely could have.
Why what was all the weird stuff?
I don't know. What the little sanitation thing driving around?
Yeah, like, I mean, we have those now. I have one in my house.
They don't have them going around sidewalks like we saw.
Right, yeah, but
Not this thing. It was a little tiny robot thing. And, right, yeah, we have Roombas, but
yeah.
this was not something we have in normal places.
My biggest thing was, why did the computers look like they were from the late 70s, early 80s,
right.
But they were so much more advanced than the stuff we do? Like the AI. Like, we don't have AI like that. That could think for itself and make decisions for itself. It was crazy. I don't know. But, like, when the show, one last thing about it. When the show started, I was like, this could either take place in an alternate reality, like way in the distant past, or it could take place in the way in the distant future in our reality. But then you find, then you hear a year. Do you remember what it was?
No.
The year Justin Theroux was born. His character was born. 1977.
He was born in 77.
In 1977, yes.
Yes, I do remember saying that because I thought, but I also said this thinking, not thinking about what year it was in the show. I was like, oh, we're the same age.
Right. So he looked, I mean, he looks about your age. Much better shape.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But no, I'm saying he looks like he could be between 40 and 45 in the show.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. It, like I said, I enjoyed this show. It wasn't without its problems. 100 times better than The Good Cop. What did you rate it?
I gave it an 8.0.
Okay, I gave it a 7.
Wow, he was actually born in 71.
Really? Pushing 50?
Guy looks so fucking good for a 50-year-old man.
He's like 37.
Well, he's not 50. He's almost 48.
I said almost 50. Yeah. I said he's 47. I said pushing 50. What do you think 47 is pushing?
Yeah, 47. 50? He's 47. But still.
Well, Jennifer Aniston's 50, yeah. I think. Or 49.
She still looks pretty good, too.
Yeah. They were a really good-looking couple.
They are.
It sucks it didn't work out. Because I like both of them.
All right. We've got a few more things here, so...
A few? Just that was just two. Narcos and White Boy Rick.
Bodyguard.
Oh, fuck yeah. We have to talk about that.
Yeah, we will. But we're going to give it a quick...
Bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop.
And we're back.
Beep, boop, beep. Sorry. No, it's our comeback tone. All right. Where are we at now? What are we drinking?
We are drinking Southern Tier Warlock. A couple weeks ago, we had Southern Tier Pumpkin. That is a pumpkin ale. This is their Imperial Pumpkin Stout.
We drank Pumpkin?
Yeah, we did. I brought a bottle.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. We drink so much stuff, aren't we? Oh. Anyway, yeah. Warlock is the stout version of Pumpkin. I don't like this as much as I like Pumpkin, but it's still good.
Yeah.
It's a little, you know, it's a stout, so it's maltier.
Right. It's very malty. And it's almost like you can't taste the pumpkin as much as you can smell it as you're drinking it.
Yeah.
When you take a drink... The pumpkin aroma just really fills your
Southern Tier
nostrils.
Southern Tier beers are very aromatic. Like the creme brulee stout, like you take the cap off of that, it'll fill whatever room you're in with the scent of vanilla. So this definitely smells like pumpkin a lot. I do enjoy it, just not as much as pumpkin.
Right. All right, Bodyguard, episode 6.
It was the finale of either the season or the series. I don't know if they're going to do it again. Or another second season, but...
Good thing is we don't have to talk about the whole series. If you want to know about the whole series, listen to a previous episode where we talked about it.
Yeah. Let's stay away from spoilers of, like, who actually did what and just talk about... Can we do that, or...?
I'm going to give a slight spoiler because we got to talk about the vest scene in this episode.
Yeah. You talking about the vest he had on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, the who was actually responsible for everything. Because we know that he wasn't. We've known that before this episode, that he was completely innocent and everything. I mean, at some point, I'm sure he wanted to kill the person he was protecting, but he didn't have anything to do with it.
So, yeah, you're going to have some slight spoilers in this. Won't ruin
the experience definitely not.
For you. And if you don't, I mean, if you don't want the spoilers, fast forward ahead and then watch it. When it comes to BBC America.
Actually, it's not now. Apparently, it's coming to Netflix in October. It is not. It is coming to Netflix in October.
Well, there you go. And that's pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, next week. Next week, it'll be... I don't know if it'll be... It'll be October next week. But I don't know when it's coming to Netflix. But you can watch it on Netflix.
So in this episode, the focus of the episode is when he gets the vest strapped to him.
And, a suicide vest.
Yeah.
He gets knocked unconscious.
His thumb taped to a dead man switch, which, if you don't know, is a depressed button.
Yes.
And if you release it, it explodes.
Yep. But before we get into that, at the end of episode 5, was it the end of episode 5 or the beginning of this one where they were the police thought that he was responsible?
I think they figured it out.
At the beginning of this one.
At the beginning of this one.
Okay, so the
not responsible that he knew the first assassination.
Oh, they definitely thought he was a co-conspirator in her death. Yeah,
but not. Yeah, I guess kind of responsible. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way they were treating it. Yeah, right. they were involved in this.
What they found out was that he knew and the guy that attempted the first assassination attempt, and he had lied about it. So they automatically assumed that he was a co-conspirator.
Yes,
which that's how it looked.
It absolutely looked that. Yeah, and yeah.
Exactly. So when they find him with his vest on, and he tells them, "I didn't do this. Somebody did this to me. I don't want to kill anybody." They don't believe him.
Nope.
And they shouldn't.
Nope. Yeah, that was the one thing. Like, see, when you're watching the development of a character like David Budd, and you learn to like him and things like that, and you know he is completely innocent, and then you're watching him talk to people trying to explain that he's completely innocent, and they're not buying it, it kind of frustrates you, the viewer.
Of course.
Like, I'm, like, rolling my eyes when he's like, "It's had nothing to do with me." And the one lady keeps going, "Are there more bombers?" And he's like, "I don't know." And they keep asking him questions as if, because they're assuming he knows. Mm-hmm. And that was a little frustrating.
Okay, let me ask you, when he was defusing his own vest.
Yeah.
And he was getting ready to cut that last wire. Were you holding your breath, possibly thinking that it might blow?
I was holding, not knowing what was going to happen. This was probably one of the most tense hours of television I've ever seen.
Well, we talked about how long the first scene of the first episode was and how tense that was.
That was tense, but you knew he wasn't going to die in the opening scene. In the last episode where you have no idea what the writer's plans are.
I was like squinting, gritting my teeth, holding my breath, thinking that when he popped that wire, I was thinking it might blow up.
So did I. It was like the drummer scene in the season 3 finale of The Expanse.
Yeah.
You didn't know. You just don't know where the writers are going. He could have died and they could have figured out the plot afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And he would have went down a hero or whatever. And this episode was so tense. It was. They did. It was beautiful.
I will say one that, not Bodyguard, but I think the most tense hour of TV I ever watched was the Walking Dead episode that you said they trolled with the introduction of Negan.
Yeah, the last couple minutes of that episode. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, I was terrified that entire episode.
Yeah.
I mean, not of like horror stuff, just the suspense when they're traveling and they hit a roadblock and then.
I felt that in this episode of Bodyguard. I thought this show was. Overall, this show, the 6 episodes together, like I think I gave it like an 8 point something for the first 5 episodes. After watching the season finale or series finale, whatever, what have you, it moved up to a 9 for me. I thought this was one of the best series enders or season finales that I've seen in a long, long time. But what really sent it home for me, apart from the writing being really, really well done, was Richard Madden's performance. I mean, he probably cried more than he wasn't crying, like while he had the vest strapped to him, talking about how he didn't want to die and trying to explain how he was innocent.
And when the guy examines the bomb and says, "All right, I'm going to walk over there," whatever, he walks away. He's like, "No, where are you going?
No, he picked
Don't
up his
leave
tools.
Me.
He picked up his tools."
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's a sign that you're not coming back. Yeah. You pick all your
he's
shit.
He's yelling,
up
"Don't leave me."
Yes. And yeah, I thought Richard Madden
he was great.
He was
in this show.
Fantastic. And not only did this show shine a light on some terrorism in a lot of ways that we don't think about, which is a spoiler I don't want to get into, who was responsible for a lot of the stuff.
Dude, did we talk about Bodyguard in our party episode?
Our party episode? No.
No?
We talked about it in the last episode.
Okay.
Where you caught up.
All right.
And then we've mentioned it before that, but one of the things that shines a light on in a big, big way was post-traumatic stress disorder for people who have been to war. And what can happen if these people don't
deal.
They never
really got into what happened to him
no,
at all.
They didn't need to. I felt they didn't need to.
But One reason I'm surprised that they didn't, because the scars all over his back and the scars all over that one guy's face.
Well, they were like together when that scars. Happened. Yes, they were together when that happened.
And they never mentioned where they got him.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's curious to me that they didn't.
I agree.
I don't think they had to. It didn't hurt the story at all.
You know that something horribly traumatic happened to both these guys at the same time, and that's why they were such good friends. And
I just thought it was curious, I guess is the best way to put it, that they didn't.
And another one of the really good things I liked about this episode was the fact that the two main police people, the woman, that gorgeous
Black girl,
and her immediate superior, the guy, mm-hmm. who looks like he's Indian of some sort, they were never, like, once he opened his mouth to speak, she was like, I'm not buying your bullshit, but he was always kind of like, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They weren't sold on the fact that he was 100% guilty, him more than her, and I liked that. I liked that they always had an open mind.
I thought that in this last episode, she was much quicker to write him off than he was.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But she was a lot closer. She felt more betrayed than he was, because he didn't lie to him. Mm-hmm. He lied to her. And their immediate supervisor, the redheaded lady, the one who shows up and starts talking and tells, she's like, David, and she's the one who like ordered everybody to walk away. The guy, the Indian guy with the beard, the boss, he was like, dude, it's her. It's totally her.
Oh, he knew it right away.
Yeah. I really liked the writing, that the things he was saying made sense to them. They didn't dismiss it once he was answering their questions. And the questions made sense. And then when Vicky shows up and says, "Yo, he's right. He shot himself in the head."
Yeah, right.
And then the one lady's like, "Well, now that you're suicidal and you're standing there with a suicide vest on, that doesn't look good for you." Right. And he's like, "True, but fantastic." Like I said, I give it a 9. Great.
Yeah.
Show.
Once this drops on Netflix, check this show out. It was
absolutely
great.
Absolutely, it's fantastic.
The acting's phenomenal all around.
And I posted it on our page on Facebook, but I didn't say it here. 11 million viewers in the UK alone, the most watched episode of a television show in the UK since 2007, and that was a Doctor Who Christmas special. So people in the UK really like this show.
They really like Doctor Who also.
Which debuts October 12th, I think, with the new Doctor, who was played by Jodie Whittaker, as they say.
From Attack the Block?
She was in Attack the Block, yeah, in...
All right, let's hit up White Boy Rick.
One last thing before. 8.5 on the IMDb for Bodyguard. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. So I rated a little higher than a lot of people did, but what did you say? After the season finale, what did you think?
After the season finale, it's close, 8.6, 8.7.
Excellent. That's a really good score.
Better than Maniac, but Maniac was good. All right, White Boy Rick, starring Matthew McConaughey, Richie Merritt, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Brian Tyree Henry.
Paper boy.
Rory Cochran, who you probably don't know.
I do.
He's been in some things.
I know exactly.
I'm talking about most people.
Yeah, I remember exactly who he was, and I can name a bunch of things he's been in. One being Dazed and Confused.
Right. Played Slater.
Yeah. Well, I see you looked him up. Also, Eddie Marsan, who was... He's not Bungie. He's the older brother.
Oh, yes,
of
Terry.
Donovan. Yeah,
Terry Donovan.
He's the older
I forgot
one.
That he was in it. He wasn't in it a whole lot, but he was in it a little bit.
Bruce Dern.
Yes.
And also his wife was Piper Laurie.
Mm-hmm.
Both Academy Award winning actors.
Yeah.
And so is Matthew McConaughey. But yeah, there was some people in this movie.
All right. Right from Jump Street, from watching the trailers, I thought I was going to hate Richie Merritt in this movie, the one who plays White Boy Rick. And I thought he did a really excellent job in this movie.
I fucking hated him.
In the movie?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I thought I was going to hate him from the trailers, but I actually... Wait, did you hate the character or you hated the actor?
Both.
See, I thought the actor did a really good job. I liked the actor.
I didn't.
I don't know. I don't know if he could branch out and play other things. I thought he played this character well.
I mean...
Thought he was really good in this movie. Jennifer Jason Leigh was Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah.
I thought Matthew McConaughey was very good.
I thought he was fantastic. He was just a normal... He was acting a normal part until about halfway through the movie, and then it actually required him to do a little more acting.
When he was carrying his daughter out of the drug
house? Yes, yes, yes. I thought she did a really good job, too. I've never seen that actress before.
Belle Powley?
Yeah, I've never seen her before, but I thought she did a good job.
She's much cuter than she was in the movie, too.
Well, she was a drug addict.
Yes, I know.
Cold sore ridden lot lizard.
She looked pretty gross in this
movie. I did not like this movie.
I
will tell you why. There is a lot of unanswered questions.
Did you History vs. Hollywood?
I did not. But one of the things was, and I was looking online to see if they said it in the movie, and they didn't.
It's a true story.
Okay. Rick gets shot because he's informing with the police. He gets shot by his buddy. Well, not his buddy, but one of the people that he knows, one of the people he's been informing on.
That's how they portray it in the movie.
That's how they portray it in the movie.
The real story is the kid says the gun went off on accident.
Okay, that's the thing. I was saying, they never say how those people found out that Rick was informing, ever, in the movie. Not once.
Just as much as the gun could have went off on accident, it could have been because he was an informant.
Right, but how did they know? They don't tell you in the movie. Not at all.
Right.
And it's irritating. And it was such a big part of the movie.
Another thing I disliked, the fact that the police and the FBI got him into selling drugs. They started him off into this.
Yeah.
And
was that in the History vs. Hollywood? Did that happen? No.
No, they don't mention it. So I kind of doubt it. But when you look back at it, how much, if this is true, if Rick, what's his last name? If Rick Wershey's story is true, the FBI and the police are never going to admit to it.
Fuck no.
He never had any CI papers drawn up, nothing like that. And he didn't in the movie either. It was just, they got this kid shot.
Why didn't they show up to it with a lawyer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like in one of the last scenes, like when
they didn't have any money. Police would have seized all of that. But the police would never admit to it because they got him shot. And then when he went to jail, they didn't even mention that he was informing for them.
I don't know. I think this was a story that needed to be told.
See, I don't.
But I do. And I'll tell you why.
I know why. Because somebody doing 30 years in prison for nonviolent offense.
Yeah. I think there needs to be more of that.
Happens all the time.
And it happens all the time because people don't know that it happens all the time.
Charles Duke Tanner, kid I went to high school with at Andrean, still in prison for selling cocaine.
Prison
for probably 17 years now.
Jesus Christ. Nobody should ever. I don't think you should ever.
I think he was sentenced to life in prison.
For selling cocaine?
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah. Got busted a few months before he was supposed to make his ESPN boxing debut. He was a professional boxer. He was going to be fighting on ESPN for the first time.
Yeah, this is a heartbreaking story. Guy gets 30 years in prison for selling cocaine.
You know he's still in prison, too.
No, he's out.
No, he's not.
The end of the movie says that he was released.
He says he was paroled.
Paroled.
But he had 5 more years to spend in prison for an unrelated crime in Florida.
Oh, that's right. I did see that in the facts about it. As soon as he was released on parole, they moved him to Florida, which in the movie, they never even say he goes to Florida.
No. Well, I don't think he went to Florida. I think while he was in prison, he set something up for working with his sister to some type of a car theft for his grandmother.
I don't know. I didn't like this movie at all. I thought the storytelling was very shoddy. It was holes you can drive a bus through. I wanted to punch Ricky Merritt in the face every time he came on screen. I don't know. Like, Matthew McConaughey does what Matthew McConaughey does. He takes every role that he is in and owns it. I don't know. This movie just wasn't very good. That's my.
I agree. I enjoyed the acting. I thought the acting was pretty good all around. I disagree with you on the kid's performance. I thought he did a pretty good job. The story, while I think people going to prison for nonviolent offenses for the time they go is absolute bullshit and we need a light shined on it, And maybe this was the store to do it. I just don't think they did it very well.
They didn't do it very well.
I think
that's the thing, they didn't.
So maybe I was looking at this not being the story to shed the light on this subject, when maybe it was. Maybe they just failed at it.
There's a guy from Louisiana who's serving life in prison for two joints because it was his third offense. And the other two offenses were joints. Just this guy's in prison for the rest of his life because he's had, because he likes to smoke weed. But yeah, that falls in line with this mandatory minimums, things like that. Another good story was the one with The Rock that was based on a true story, where the snitch, or maybe it's called Snitch. Did you ever see that?
Walking Tall?
No, it's called Snitch, or The Snitch. His son gets a package that has XC in it.
I know what you're talking about. I never watched it.
Okay. Wasn't that good of a movie? Along the same lines, kid got delivered ecstasy and goes to prison for, gets sentenced to prison for like 30 years.
And you know what I'm thinking about that makes me laugh? Broke Down Palace. Remember that movie?
Okay, there were two movies along the same line. One was Broke Down Palace, and the other one was, did it have Anne Heche and Vince Vaughn in it?
No, it had Kate Beckinsale and Claire Danes.
Okay, I've seen both of them. There was one
with, okay, we're talking about how, I mean, we're watching that, and it's like, yeah, only in another country
could
two girls get sent to prison for life for something like that. No.
No.
No, it happens here.
In the one with Vince Vaughn and Anne Heche, three guys are on vacation together, and they got a bunch of weed. They buy a bunch of weed, and then two guys leave and go home, and the third guy winds up getting caught with it and gets life in prison. No, sentenced to death.
Yeah, one of my buddies told me to watch this movie. I've never watched it, though.
So Anne Heche is his lawyer, who's Joaquin Phoenix, is her brother, goes and finds the other two guys and says, the judge says, if you guys go back and serve 3 years in prison, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't have to die. And that's what the movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we don't put people to death for drugs here, but life in prison without the possibility of parole for cocaine.
Now, in that movie, wasn't it, it's not like they were all friends. It was like, wait a minute, I barely knew this guy. I hung out with him for a weekend.
Yeah, yeah, they met in wherever. Yeah,
that'd be really rough, man. Do I want to go spend 3 years in prison?
One guy just had a baby, and the other one just like made partner in his law firm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I don't even know this guy.
Yeah.
That'd be hard. I mean, I know what you should do.
Oh, yeah. The answer to what you should do is easy, but getting your ass up and doing it? Yeah, it's way different. All right. So, White Boy Rick, I'm going to throw out a 4.2. I did not like this one. I didn't like it.
Now, I'm always biased to true stories, whether it's a good one or not.
But you said this one wasn't really true, or wasn't very true.
No. It's like kind of his story. So none of this FBI stuff is provable, and they didn't talk about it on History vs. Hollywood, so it's hard to tell.
But then again, the FBI has a really good reason to say, yeah, yes, this is all bullshit.
Right. Absolutely, they do.
Kind of like the Catholic Church in Sleepers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually give this movie like a 6.4, just because I thought the acting was really good.
I liked everybody in this movie with the exception of Ricky Merritt.
And I was also tired when I saw this movie, and I didn't fall asleep. And I was the only single person in the movie theater.
It was a really slow burn for the first hour, wasn't it?
It was
a real slow burn. That's another reason. Like, it was slow burn. And I didn't like the
Paperboy?
No, I'll watch Paperboy and anything. The story with the older woman that he went.
But that's true. That is true.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How? Is it in History?
Yes. The guy's wife?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is all true.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually believe that. I don't remember if it was when they arrested him or they came and raided her place or something. But this didn't happen in the movie. This was real life. The police kicked in the door and busted into her place. And he was in bed with her.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that part is true.
All right. Good for him, I guess. 17-year-old, she was like, probably close to 30, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. She was, well, in the movie, she was gorgeous. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Real life.
All right.
Third act!
Third act.
All right.
Okay, homework, you gave me The Good Place.
I did.
Just
two people in that. Well, two main characters that,
yeah,
that you know.
Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Both great in the show. I loved it. It's hilarious. It's original. I absolutely hate the twist at the end of the first season.
Why?
To me, it's like after season two or three of Supernatural, you find out that Sam and Dean are actually the bad guys and they're killing a bunch of innocent people.
Oh, I don't get that at all. I think the way that
it changes the show so much. It's a completely different show in season two.
It is.
Now, I'm only three episodes in to season two, and the first two episodes were in our season premiere.
Okay.
So I'm technically only two episodes in. So I'm hoping that I get over this, which there's a good chance I might, because the first few episodes of season two are pretty slow in, I mean, granted they go by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of attempts at what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But they do it very quickly.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen a whole lot happen.
Did they get up to 800 and whatever? Okay, yeah.
So, but we haven't seen a whole lot happen in the first few episodes of season two, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it winds up getting, like, well, dealing with the issue.
The last thing I watched was The Four and Ted Danson just decided to team up.
Okay, that's where season two becomes a different show, and but still telling a really good story. It kind of bothers me that you didn't like the twist. I thought the twist was one of the best things of the show.
Because I loved Ted Danson's character so much, and this is a totally different character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 100% different character.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I liked him so much as the naive angel or whatever. Yeah. And I love Janet.
Janet is amazing. Like, the actress who plays her and the character are both really, really good. I think Janet...
I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
I'm not a robot.
I'm not a human. Yeah.
I love it. I'm in love with this girl. I'm not a girl.
Yeah. I actually like him, too.
I hate him. You know...
Oh, my God.
Okay, here's the thing. When I first started watching the show, I was like, okay, this is the last man on Earth, and Kristen Bell is my Will Forte. Until Kristen Bell starts to grow as a character.
Yeah.
And then Jason comes, and it's like, okay, Jason is my Will Forte. Yeah. So, just like you hated Will Forte on Last Man on Earth.
He grew on me.
Yeah, he did.
He grew on me a lot.
So Jason might start to grow on me, too.
Yeah. He stopped being stupid. Not Jason. He's idiot to the... he stays an idiot. But Will Forte's character kind of... I mean, he was still stupid, but he stopped doing dumb stuff that ruined everybody's life. Dude, I love the twist so much in this. But you still like the show. Season two goes down a different path, but it still remains good.
Let me ask you a few questions.
Yep.
Have you ever been convicted of a serious felony like murder or arson, or have you ever committed?
Have I ever committed a felony?
Yeah, serious felony like murder or arson.
No, I have not.
Have you ever owned a vanity plate for your car?
No, I have not.
Have you ever DVR'd The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, or The Bachelor in Paradise?
No, I have not. a lot of the things they throw...
Are you from Florida?
I am not. Some of the things they throw shade at, I died laughing at some of the things they throw shade at. I loved it. I think it's a great show. And for people that haven't watched it, catch up. First two seasons are on Netflix, and the third season premieres, which you have to watch it before it premieres, the rest of season two.
Why?
Because if you watch the first episode of season three, you won't understand what's going on.
Yeah, but, like, I don't have to watch season three when it premieres. You said I had to watch season two before it premieres.
No, well, I meant before you watch season three.
Of course.
I thought that was implied.
Of course.
Yeah, it premieres the 27th? Which I believe it's Thursday, the day that this episode comes out. So set your DVRs, watch Kristen Bell, Ted Danson, and the other cast members in The Good Place. A lot of goods. The Good Cop, The Good Fight, The Good Wife, The Good Place.
Good Doctor.
The Good Doctor. How about The Good Show? Is there The Good Show?
That's this one.
Yeah.
All right. As I said a couple weeks ago, you had not seen this movie that came up in passing. I don't remember how. But the movie Dave.
We're talking about Secret Service defending people who they didn't like.
That is what we were talking about. Looks like 1993, starring Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Kline. Let's see if anybody else is in
that's
Frank Langella.
That was Sigourney Weaver?
Ving Rhames, yeah.
Who did I say was in it?
Ben Kingsley? I don't know.
I said somebody else. I thought it was in it, but it's not. Charles Scott Thomas was who I thought was in it.
Charles Grodin, Laura Linney, Bonnie Hunt.
Josh Groban.
Tony Danza. Hold me closer, Tony Danza. He's not in it.
Okay.
He was in The Good Doctor.
Cop.
Good Cop. I know. Cop. Yeah, a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Ving Rhames is the Secret Service guy.
Oh, cool. All right, I do know the main premise.
Like, 1993.
Two guys that look exactly alike, and one of them is the president, and something happens.
Yeah, basically, there's no relation. The president of the United States, they have lookalikes. Dave goes around and impersonates the president just for fun, basically,
okay.
Because he looks just like him. And somebody sees him and wants him to go do a public appearance, basically just smile and wave, because the president can't go to everything.
Right.
And while he's doing it, the president is having an affair and has a heart attack and dies. So rather than them reveal this, they have Dave become the president.
Okay.
And Sigourney Weaver is the first lady, who doesn't get along with him because she knew that he was having an affair and all that. And they just don't get along. Hilarity ensues.
Sounds like it.
I have not seen this movie since probably close to when it came out. I just remember really liking it. Again, I was in high school. Okay. But I don't know.
I don't know. Hopefully that I'm the biggest Kevin Kline fan. He's been in good movies. The one that we watched not too long ago, where the
Grand Canyon.
Yeah, but
he's in one of the all-time classic comedies though.
Fish Called Wanda.
Yes.
Yeah,
and he's great in it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love that movie. Yeah, I'll check out Dave. And speaking of revisits,
it's got a 6.8 on IMDb.
That's not bad for a comedy.
That's pretty good for a comedy.
Yeah, it's actually really good for a comedy. Revisit. Okay, so this was my idea. This is in my top five movies of all time. This is a David Fincher classic starring Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, the horrible human being Kevin Spacey.
Gwyneth Paltrow. And Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Yeah. Seven.
No, actually, they never show that. Well, they do show her head. Just
attached to her body.
Yeah.
What's in the box? Damn it, that was going to be my quote for the episode.
Well, I thought about doing this one, but it's my favorite line from the movie, but I'm not going to do it. Remember the guy laying on the bed when the cops come in, and he's just going, I fucked her.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this movie,
you remember that guy? He's been in a lot of shit.
Yeah, he was in
Taken. One of the Aliens movies.
He was in, the one thing I always remember from was Taken. He was it Brian Mills? I'm Brian Mills. That was
his buddy.
His buddy.
Yeah.
Well, 8.6 on IMDb for this movie.
I always had a problem with that. Why didn't Brian Mills just call up his buddies and say, hey guys, my daughter got kidnapped? Every one of them would have been like, all right, we'll meet you at the airport.
Because reasons. I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because the movie would have been over in like 5 minutes if there was a whole team of Liam Neeson's going to get his daughter back.
All right. You got a quote? Oh, do you want to say anything about Seven? I know you've seen it.
Oh, Jesus. Quick story. Me and my wife were watching that movie. They're making the drive to the field, and we're on the couch watching. And I keep looking over at her and trying to gauge her tension and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're standing around talking. They got them in the field, and I'm looking over at her. And then they bring the box, and they haven't opened the box yet. And I look at her, and she's asleep.
Oh!
It's like, how can you fall asleep at that point in that movie?
I don't know. Like, how do you not want to know what's in the box?
Oh, gosh. I don't get
it. Anyway, Seven, one of the all-time great movies for me. It's a David Fincher masterpiece. Definitely his best work. And he's done a lot of stuff that I really like. He was in my top directors when we did the director episode. Anyway, Seven, like I said, 8.7 on the IMDb. One of the top movies of all time on their list. Great performances from everyone. Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, even Kevin Spacey. yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's in this movie for a cup of coffee, and that's about it.
Yeah, not a big part.
No. Fantastic movie. Do we need to tell you what it's about? It's a guy who's murdering people based off the seven deadly sins, which, do you know him?
Sloth, gluttony, greed, pride.
Lust, envy, and wrath. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, get together.
I don't know. And yeah. I went to a Catholic high school.
Yeah, anyway.
There was, what do they call it, an acronym? Yeah, there was an acronym I knew for it, but
I don't remember.
I don't remember, but
I just know them.
Just kind of like the, like, Great Lakes, Holmes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just know them because of Catholic school. I didn't go to Catholic high school. I went to Catholic elementary school.
You got a quote?
I do.
What's it from?
Seven.
Okay, I know which one it is. It's probably the one I was going to take, but I'll let you say.
What's the first word?
I don't remember. Oh. I went to a different movie.
Okay.
Because I figured you'd probably take that one. Go ahead.
All right. Wanting people to listen, you can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a sledgehammer, and then you'll notice you've got their strict attention.
All right, and that is from Seven. Mine is from Dave.
Wait, real quick. Was that the one you were going to?
No, oh. It wasn't. Okay, I'm going to do two different voices because two different people in this scene. I'm going to kill him. You can't kill a president. He's not a president. He's an ordinary person. I can kill an ordinary person. Bob, I can kill 100 ordinary people.